We're going to read some scripture tonight. It's a relatively short reading from Romans chapter 8, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. We're going to read from verse 31, so it's just about 8 verses or so, 8 or 9 verses, verse 31 to the end of the chapter. Romans 8 and verse number 31. Let us hear the precious word of the Lord. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know that the Lord will bless this wonderful, blessed portion of his precious and inspired word to all of our hearts. Romans chapter 8, please. I'd like to draw your attention to the words of verse number 37. Romans 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If you've been with us in recent months, you'll know that we've been looking at some of the great imperative statements in the Bible. You must be born again. We must needs die. We must be saved. We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and many others. And those imperative statements show us our great need for Christ, our great need for salvation. And then we were thinking as well and considering some of the great invitations of Scripture. From Genesis through to Revelation, God invites us in many different ways to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And those as well give us every reason in the world to come to Christ. Not just the imperative statements in Scripture, not just the invitations in Scripture, but also the great incentives to come to Christ. Forgiveness of sins, peace with God, the presence of God with you in your life, access to the throne of grace. And we've been thinking about some of the great incentives. Why? It is such a wonderful thing to be a Christian, and we come tonight to consider another Bible incentive. And here it is outlined for us in verse 37 of this great chapter, Romans 8. In all these things, all of the trials and troubles and tribulations and temptations of life, Paul says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I want to speak tonight for a little while upon the subject of the victorious life, or victory in Christ, or being more than a conqueror. There's all the reason in the world for you to come. You know, many people tonight say, well, I couldn't keep the Christian life. I couldn't keep my salvation. I couldn't really walk with God. I couldn't really live the Christian life. And those statements are all true. In and of ourselves, we cannot live for Christ in this world. But Paul assures us that we can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I encourage you tonight, if you're not a believer, to really think about these things. And if you're in Christ and you're maybe struggling, you've grown cold at heart, there's always victory. There's always a sense of victory whenever we yield ourselves to Him. So let's just pray now that God will help us and give grace, and that the Lord will undertake. We're very conscious, as always, of our weakness, our inability. We've no confidence tonight in our notes, no confidence in our study or anything that we can do, but we trust that the Lord will take this truth, this great text of Scripture that is so deep, so profound, and write it upon our hearts, and that souls will be drawn to the cross, those who are struggling, maybe with lack of assurance, or struggling with some trial in your life, that the Lord will give you victory tonight, and that His name will be exalted. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight, O God, for this precious book that is open before us. We thank Thee, O God, for every promise. We thank Thee, O God, for every principle and for every precept within this precious book. We thank Thee, O God, for the Savior. And we know tonight that all of the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. And Lord, we pray tonight, O God, that the Holy Spirit will move in our hearts, in our lives, in this very sanctuary, and for all who maybe join in online right now, and perhaps, O God, for others who will listen in at a later time. Some, O God, that are struggling. Some, O God, that are finding the trials and the burdens of life so great. Others, O God, that have fightings within and fears without about coming to Christ. Some, O God, that are maybe struggling with a besetting sin or a particular difficulty in their life. We thank Thee, O God, that Paul could say that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Lord God, lead us on to victory. Deliver us, O God, from paddling in the shallows, even in our Christian experience. Lead us on, lead us deeper with God. And do remember, Lord, the unconverted. We pray, O God, Thou will bring them through unto the victory ground at Calvary's cross. And Lord, set men and women free tonight. Hear and answer prayer. Lead us on with Thyself, we humbly pray, with thanksgiving, with confidence, and with assurance in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Some of you tonight might have heard in the meeting of a saint of God who went to be with the Lord back in 1989. Dr. Alan Redpath, a famous author, evangelist, pastor, and preacher who ministered for quite a number of years in the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. He was an Englishman by birth. And then moving on from Chicago, he came back to Britain and ministered in Charlotte Chapel in Edinburgh, where he saw a great move of the Spirit of God. He was a Keswick speaker, a very honest man who spoke about times in his life whenever he struggled, even as a Christian, with all sorts of different things, and yet found that there was always forgiveness, always mercy, always grace, always victory in Jesus Christ whenever that victory was sought. And he wrote some wonderful books, Victorious Christian Living, based on the life of Joshua, Victorious Christian Service, based on the life of Nehemiah, and then Victorious Christian Praying, based on the principles of the Lord's Prayer outlined in Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 6. I wonder tonight, are you an individual who is experiencing victorious Christian living? Are you experiencing victorious Christian service? Are you experiencing victorious Christian praying? Or is your life by and large marked by maybe a defeatist attitude? Maybe you find yourself struggling against sin, against trial, and against temptation. And it may be tonight that the reason you're not yet a Christian is because you fear defeat. You fear that you might stumble and fall and let the Lord down. You feel that you could not and cannot keep the Christian life. And that's the thing that holds you back. Well, friends, can I tell you tonight on the authority of God's Word that there is such a thing as victorious Christian living. There is such a thing as victorious Christian service. There is such a thing tonight as victorious Christian praying. There is such a thing tonight as victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. There is such a thing as being a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul speaks about it here explicitly in Romans chapter 8. And these remarkable, wonderful verses that we've read together tonight in our hearing. The Christian life ought to be a victorious thing. The Bible presents it as such. In verse number 35 of Romans 8, Paul asks this great question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? He says then in verse number 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He goes on to say in verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. Can I ask you tonight, is that your experience in life? Can you look back to an experience of God's salvation that has brought you into a life of victory? Can you testify that as a Christian, God is giving you victory over all of the circumstances of life that ordinarily would bring defeat and discouragement into our experience? You know, the sad reality is that in 2021 and down through the years, many people have been presented with a gospel that is often shallow and ineffective. A sort of salvation that really just kicks in after you die. That doesn't really alter your life at all while we are living in this earth. It doesn't really lead to any type of victory or hunger or thirst for God or a life of service, pursuing after Christ. So often we are presented with a type of salvation that doesn't necessarily affect how we live our lives in this earth. It just really begins after we die. But friends, tonight we need something that reconciles us to God in time, that brings us into a relationship with Christ in this life, that gives us hope and assurance in this world. We need something tonight that helps us in life's trials and battles and gives us victory over the world and over the flesh and over the devil now. The sad reality is that many professing Christians and many people that are religious and attend church services know very little of what Paul is speaking about here in Romans chapter 8, being more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. If Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and He certainly did, and if Jesus Christ rose again from the grave, and He certainly did, and if He is alive forevermore, and He certainly is, then surely salvation is much more than a get-out-of-jail-free card. Surely God's salvation is more than having a home someday in heaven. Surely God's salvation must do something for us in this life. Jesus Christ said Himself, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can I ask you tonight, are you free? He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Do you know that real freedom in your life tonight? And then He said in John chapter 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, or we might render it life in all its fullness. I wonder tonight, are you really free? I wonder tonight, do you really have life with a capital L? Can you say tonight that I am a new creature in Christ? All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I believe tonight in a gospel and in a Savior and in a salvation that leads all who trust in Christ and are born again if the Spirit of God leads them into an experience where they can say, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There is such a thing tonight as victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Victory over our transgressions. Victory in all our tribulations. And victory over all our temptations. You'll notice here tonight that in this verse of Scripture and in the verses around it, we have a guarantee of victory. Look at what Paul says, having said in verse number 37, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He says in verse number 38, for I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He says in all these things and in the things spoken of in verse number 35, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And He says, I am absolutely persuaded as to this fact. There was a sense in which Paul felt, I have a guarantee. I have an assurance. I have an absolute certainty that I can experience victory in the Christian life. The word persuaded there means to be convinced by argument. Now, there were many things that the Apostle Paul was persuaded about. There were many things that Paul was convinced about. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, as he writes his last letter in this earth to Timothy, he says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I mention thee in my prayer, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is also in thee. Paul was convinced as he looked at Timothy and Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother. Here are people that are converted. You know, I believe in a salvation that is visible, a salvation that is viable, and a salvation that is victorious. And as Paul looked at Timothy and Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother, Lois and Eunice, these godly women, Paul could say, I am persuaded that you're saved. I'm convinced about it. I can see the change in your life. I can see the reality of what Christ means to you and what He's done for you and the wonderful experience of grace that is seen in you. And nobody needed to come to Paul and try to tell him that these three individuals were Christians. He was persuaded of it himself. I wonder tonight, do you have a type of salvation that other people can look at and see and testify and can say, I'm persuaded that if ever there was a Christian, it's that man or it's that woman or it's that young person. I can see the grace of God in them. I can see the love of Christ in them. I can see that they've got faith, and Paul was persuaded as to the salvation of Lois, Eunice, and Timothy. I trust tonight that we have that type of testimony in the world around us. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 again, and verse number 12, Paul says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. You see, the Christian life is not a life exempt from trial and tribulation and temptation and suffering. Paul speaks about his suffering, but he says, Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded, there it is again, persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul was persuaded, convinced, that the God and the Savior that he had trusted had the power and the ability and the willingness to keep him. He was persuaded of it. He was guaranteed somehow in his heart that my God is able to keep me until that great day. You see, here in this verse that we're looking at tonight, Romans 8:37, he is convinced as well, persuaded as well, that he has got victory as a Christian. It wasn't a notion that Paul had. He was persuaded by influences and sources outside of himself. You see, Paul was a young man whenever he was Saul, and he knew the Old Testament scriptures. And in Psalm 98, verse number 1, it says, "His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." And there's no doubt that the Apostle Paul could look at men in Scripture, men like Joshua, and men like Gideon, and men like David, and men like Elijah, and many others who had, in the face of adversity and persecution and intense opposition, experienced victory through the God that they loved and trusted and served. And therefore, whenever Saul of Tarsus met the risen Savior on the road to Damascus, and undoubtedly, I suppose he thought, as the Lord began to speak to him, and he trembled, and he fell on his knees, and he fell on his face, "Now if I become a Christian, and I become one of the people that I intended to go out and persecute, how could somebody like me ever live the Christian life? When I've been so vocal against it. And whenever I have opposed the very name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I know who my countrymen are and my fellow Jews are, how could somebody like me ever live the Christian life?" Well, Paul became persuaded that the Lord Jesus Christ was not only able to forgive him and cleanse him and save him, but able to keep him and able to strengthen him and empower him to live a victorious Christian life. Paul knew the scriptures. And on that road to Damascus, he came to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Lord of glory. And Saul would have known that our Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 61 that Jesus Christ came to proclaim liberty to the captives. And he is able to set me free from sin and captivity and fear and uncertainty, and he's able to give me liberty, and he's able to give me great victory. And in Isaiah chapter 42, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring forth judgment to the Gentiles, and he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And the Savior in the Gospel according to St. Matthew said that he brings forth judgment unto victory. And Paul was persuaded that this wonderful Savior was able to give him a glorious sense of victory. I wonder tonight, do you have that same conviction as you read the promises of God and the prophecies concerning our Savior, and you read about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder, would you dare step out tonight in faith and say, "Well, I will take this Savior and I will trust this Savior to deliver me and to cleanse me and to set me free and to give me power to live the Christian life." In this great chapter, Romans 8, Paul says in verse number 2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, there was a wonderful freedom and there was a wonderful victory in the salvation that the Apostle Paul enjoyed. And that's the salvation tonight that I present you with. A Savior that can set you free. A Savior that can give you victory. A Savior who can give you power to live the Christian life. Paul speaks of the guarantee of our victory. "I am persuaded. I am convinced." And then he also speaks about the grounds of this great victory. You know, it wasn't that Paul was living the Christian life because he was a man of great intellect or a man with just a kind of a stubborn spirit who wouldn't give up, and he was just pressing on in his own strength. And Paul was a kind of an individual that just was a strong personality, a strong characteristic, and he was able just to plow on through. No, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. One of the great themes of the book of Romans is the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, his work for us upon the cross, that cleanses us and secures our salvation. And then this great 8th chapter of Romans, Paul again and again and again speaks about what it is to be in Christ. For example, in the first verse, he says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He says in verse number 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. He says in verse number 3, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, in Christ. There it is again, verse number 10. For if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse number 17, he says, and if children and heirs, joint heirs of God with Christ. And it's in Christ, it's through Christ, it's with Christ. This is the grounds of our victory. Paul believes it with all of his heart. I can be a more than a conqueror through him that loved us. You can't live the Christian life in the flesh. You can't just live the Christian life with dogged determination. You can't live the Christian life by endeavoring in and of yourself to be disciplined. You can only live the Christian life in him, in Christ, and through him that loved us. And there are three grounds that Paul highlights here. There's first of all, the love of Christ to us. Through him that loved us. There is so much emphasis in these closing verses of Romans chapter 8 about the love of Christ. Paul speaks about it in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In verse 37, he speaks about him that loved us. And then again, in verse number 39, he speaks about the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the first step to victory is to recognize the love of God in Christ Jesus. That the Lord loves us unconditionally. That the Lord loves us with a love that is unearned, unending, undeserved, unconditional, and unblemished. And it's not about our love for him that secures our salvation. It's all about his love for us. And the Bible, my friends, tonight is God's love letter to a fallen world. And we need to understand that the Lord says, I will love you with an everlasting love. I will love them freely. The Bible speaks about his great love wherewith he loved us. The Bible says God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and to know that you are loved by an eternal God, and that that love can never change. And there's nothing that you can do that will make God love you any more than he does, or make God love you any less than he does. To understand and to receive that love is the beginning of victory. Because love is always more constraining than fear. You know, sometimes people try to live the Christian life out of a sense of duress, and they obey God out of a sense of fear and uncertainty, and out of a sense of guilt, to almost try to atone for their own sins. But whenever we just receive of the fullness of his love, that's the first step to victory. That's the first ground of victory. Paul says the love of Christ constraineth us. He was not driven by fear. He was drawn by love. He was not constrained by guilt. He was compelled by love. The grounds of this victory is the love of Christ to us. And then furthermore, the grounds of this victory is the work of Christ for us. Look at verse number 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Paul has spoken about it at great length in this chapter. He says in verse number 37, whom he called, them he also justified. And those whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so everything that we need for life and for godliness and for salvation and for the Christian life and for heaven is given to us in Christ. He was delivered up for us all. And that brings us to the cross. the very hub of our salvation. Look at verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. This is the heart of the gospel. Christ that died. That takes us to the crucifixion, where the Son of God died for our sins. And he paid the price for our sins. And he paid the price not just for some of our sins, but for all of our sins. And he paid the price in full. And if you can understand, my friend, tonight, that on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price in full for all of your sins because he loved you. I believe tonight that if we can lay hold upon that and grasp that, and as it says in Romans 6 and verse number 6, he died so that the body of sin might be destroyed. Whenever God looks at a believer in Jesus Christ, he sees someone whose sins are under the blood. The debt has been paid. The anger of God has been appeased. And it's all because of his crucifixion. And then also he speaks about his resurrection. Yea, that is risen again. You see, he rose up triumphant from the grave. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And he defeated hell. And therefore, there's a wonderful victory in the risen Lord. And furthermore than that, it says he is even at the right hand of God. So you've got crucifixion, resurrection, glorification. All things are under his feet. Our Savior reigns and rules in glory. And not only that, you've got intercession, who also maketh intercession for us. That's why it says in Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What a Savior, friends. One who died for us. One who rose again for us. One who represents us in glory. And one who continually prays for us. It's wonderful whenever somebody that you know and love and trust says, I'm praying for you. And you know that it's not just a token gesture. You know that that individual will actively endeavor to get before the throne of grace and mention you and your needs by name. But think of it this way, the very Son of God, who loved us, gave himself for us, died for us, rose again for us, is continually praying for us. Praying that your salvation and sanctification will all be secured and all of his atoning merits, that the Father in heaven will look to Christ and look to him and that your salvation will be complete and full and secure. And then there's another ground, not just the love of Christ to us and the work of Christ for us, but also the grace of Christ in us. Romans chapter 8 has been often referred to as the chapter of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, dwells in every believer, enabling them to live the Christian life. Look, for example, at verse number 8 of this chapter. It says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's why you need salvation. The natural man in the flesh cannot please God because everything I do is marred and tainted by sinful hands. Remember a fellow that I was friendly with years ago. He bought a car, and this little boy, who's a big fella now, grown up well into his 20s, well, he was just a wee toddler, and he came out to help his dad wash the car. And he lifted a sponge, and he began to rub for all he was worth, but his dad didn't know that he had dropped that sponge on the ground, on the grit, and he was washing the car, but at the same time, he was making it a whole lot worse because he was scraping it with this sponge, and he destroyed the whole paintwork up the side of his dad's car. And isn't that just like us? In the flesh, we cannot please God because everything that we do is marred and tainted by a sin nature. We cannot cleanse ourselves. In fact, the more we try to cleanse ourselves and earn merit before God, we're just getting further and further away from Him. Paul says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But then he speaks to the child of God and says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Then he says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And there we have the work of Christ in us and the work of Christ through us. That the Lord puts His Holy Spirit within us and enables us to live the Christian life. You'll never live the Christian life on your own. Underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. And you've got Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. And the Spirit of God to lead you and to guide you. You know some of you the story of John Wesley and Charles Wesley and George Whitfield, how they were so religious. And they had this little club in Oxford called the Holy Club. And they prayed and they fasted and they distributed Christian literature. And then they discovered that they weren't even converted themselves. And somebody gave them a little booklet to read, and the title of the book was The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And as they read that little booklet, they realized, we have been trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. And we need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And they experienced the new birth, and friends, that changed absolutely everything. And they realized that a Christian is a person who is supernatural. And you can't live the Christian life by decision or by discipline or devotion or determination. You live it by having Christ in you, the hope of glory. Recognizing the love of Christ to me. Recognizing the work of Christ for me. And then experiencing the grace of Christ in me. Can I ask you tonight, have you recognized the love of God to your soul? Do you believe in your heart, yes, God loves me? Do you believe in your heart tonight Christ died for me? And then have you received Christ as your Savior? Can you say Christ lives in me? That makes all the difference. That brings victory. Paul speaks about the guarantee of Christian victory. He speaks about the grounds of Christian victory. And then lastly, I want you to notice that he speaks about the greatness of Christian victory. Our text says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And you know, as you look at the great list that Paul gives right throughout Romans 8, he covers virtually everything. He covers things that are personal. There's victory tonight over self, and there's victory tonight over sin. The very first verse says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. More than conquerors. No more condemnation. Charles Wesley went on to write that great hymn, and he says, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. You see, tonight, there is victory over sin's penalty. There is victory over sin's pollution. And there is victory over sin's power. Victory over things personal. And then in verse number 35, there's victory over things physical. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? You see, you can be a Christian tonight and you're experiencing great tribulation, trials, and difficulties. And you might even testify that you're greatly distressed. But you can experience victory in it. You know, I remember years ago listening to the testimony of an American woman by the name of Johnny Erickson. Some of you might have heard of her. Whenever she was a young woman of 17, she was out swimming in a bay in America, Chesapeake Bay, and she swam out to a pontoon, and she climbed up in the pontoon, and she dived in off the other side of it, and she thought that the water was deep, but it was only a foot or two deep, and she dived in, and she severed her spinal cord and became a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. That was over 50 years ago. And she struggled with living in this wheelchair. She became a Christian. And then shortly after becoming a Christian, she met with people who said to her, you know, if you just had the faith, you could get out of that wheelchair and go back to living the life that you were living before. And she came to experience victory in Jesus Christ. And she got to the stage where she said, you know, even if it was the will of God for me to get out of this wheelchair, I just don't know if I would want to change anything. She says, it takes more grace to keep me in this wheelchair, living in victory, than it would to heal my body and allow me to go back to living the life that I lived before. She was more than a conqueror. I wonder tonight, are you going through tribulation or distress? Or maybe tonight it's persecution. Paul speaks about persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword. Did you ever read Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place? Her and her sister and some of her family members, they had tried along with their family to provide a hiding place for Jewish people during the Holocaust. And then the Nazis found out about it and they went into their home and they took some of them prisoner, and Corrie and her sister, they ended up in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And such was the hostility that they experienced that her sister died from some of the beatings that she took from one of the German prison officers. And one day, whenever she was being beaten, Corrie was about to step in, and her sister shouted across, she says, "No, Corrie. No, Corrie. Remember the love of Christ." Her sister subsequently died. Many years ago, Corrie ten Boom wrote another book, Tramp After God, and she went all around the world telling her story. And one day she was in a church in Germany, and she was telling her story. And at the end of the service, she saw in the church meeting the very prison officer who was responsible for the death of her sister, who during, from the end of the Second World War to that moment, somewhere along the line, had become a Christian. And Corrie was standing at the door of the church and she was shaking hands with the people coming out. And then she saw this individual who didn't know her, but she knew him. And she just put out her hand and she shook his hand. And she said, there was a real sense of victory that came into my soul. More than conquerors. You see, whenever we talk about Christian victory, we're not talking about being delivered out of the circumstances that we are in. We're talking about living for Christ, for His glory, and for His honor in those circumstances. Trusting Christ, things personal, there's victory. Things physical, there's victory. Things spiritual, because he goes on to speak in verse number 38, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Spiritual things. A.W. Tozer said, this world of ours is not a playground, it's a battleground, and there's a very real battle going on all around us. We cannot see, but there are principalities, and there are powers, and there are forces at work to defy and to oppose the Christian. But Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. It doesn't matter if it's death, the threat of death, or the trials of life, or angels, or principalities, or powers, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. There's victory. He says then, going on, or things present, things actual. Whatever you are facing right now, there's victory. Whatever you face tomorrow, there's victory. Patricia Carday, a local woman, has put out a book just recently. I'm sure many of you have heard her testimony or her husband's testimony, how that back in 1981, their young daughter, Jennifer, was taken and killed in the most tragic of circumstances. And I'm sure about 8 or 9 years ago, whenever you saw in the news headlines or read about it in the papers, whenever the man that was responsible for the death of that girl was brought to court and tried and convicted, how they stood outside and they testified of the grace of God in their lives and how the Lord had brought them through. And I look at that and I say, that's what it means to be more than a conqueror. The most difficult circumstances in life. And it's not that the Lord takes you out of them and removes them completely. It's that the Lord brings you through and enables you to continue living the Christian life. This is the type of salvation that Paul enjoyed. Victory over things personal. Victory over all things physical. Victory over all things spiritual. Victory over all things actual. Victory over all things potential, because he speaks about things to come. Victory over all things insurmountable, because he speaks about, verse number 39, height. Maybe there's a mountain in your life that you're facing. A trial that looms on the horizon. It might be some type of thing in the workplace. It's maybe an operation or a scan that you have to go for. And you look at it and it looks like a mountain of difficulty. There's victory. The hymn writer said, God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other could do. Do you remember how Caleb, at the end of his life's journey, or towards it, he looked at all of his possessions in grace, and there was still one mountain that he needed to possess, and he prayed and says, Lord, give me this mountain. And he went on to victory. Things insurmountable, things unfathomable, nor height nor depth. Do you find yourself tonight in the depth? The depths of despair, the depths of depression perhaps, the depths of discouragement, the depths of loneliness, the depths of bereavement. Now the Lord mightn't just immediately reach down and lift you out of those depths, but even while you're down there, the Lord can still give you the victory. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even down there in the depths, in the dark shadows, where death seems to stalk me, even there shall thy right hand lead me and thy right hand guide me. And then lastly, Paul speaks about things possible or any other creature. Just in case I've missed anything, height, depth, principalities, powers, tribulation, distress, things present, things to come, or any other creature, he says, none of it is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a Savior. What a gospel. What salvation. And what grace. Christian, tonight, you're maybe struggling. You say, what do I do? Consecration. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. But maybe tonight you're not a Christian at all, and you're struggling with guilt, fear, uncertainty, sin, temptation, a life really without purpose. If you come to Christ and trust him as your Savior, receive of his love, believe on the finished work, and receive him as your Savior, you too can be more than a conqueror through him that loved us.